Jimmy, you gotta pull yourself together and get moving.
Yeah, she's a nice girl. Very talented girl.
But she's Max Campbell's fiancée. She's on her way to tell Chandler what she saw here.
Yes, I suppose she does, Thomas.
Then you can start imagining what it feels like to have a few thousand volts of electricity sucked through your body.
Those are the Whisper Men.
The Mutual Broadcasting System presents The Whisper Men, featuring Carl Swenson in the role of Max Chandler, famous radio commentator and reporter, whose assignments bring him into constant conflict with the Whisper Men, international criminals who plot in secret to further their own sinister interests. In a radio studio in New York, Max Chandler is making his regular broadcast to the people of America.
This is not the first, nor will it be the last time that I talk to you about the Whisper Men. Now, we know them as men who operate behind the facade of respectability. We know their schemes are large and intricate. But often, they show their hand by some swift piece of violence that seems isolated and personal, unrelated to any big plot or conspiracy. Yet, that pinpoint of violence may affect the lives of hundreds of thousands of people. I want to tell you such a story. Mr. and Mrs. William Potter live in a simple brownstone walk-up apartment east of Fifth Avenue in New York. Well, 3 days ago, Ann Potter returned home after being out for the afternoon. She was loaded down with paper bags and bundles. She remembered guiltily that she'd left the apartment door on the latch. It was a habit her husband often scolded her for. She was glad now because her arms were full of packages. She went into the kitchenette and put down her bundles. Then she walked into the living room. What she saw left her standing frozen in the doorway. The room was a shambles. The furniture overturned, the lamp broken. On the couch lay the body of a woman Ann Potter had never seen before in her life. A kitchen knife had been driven deep into her heart. Ann's first thought was of her husband.
I'd like to speak to Miss Linda Jones, please.
This is Linda Jones.
Linda, this is Ann Potter.
Ann, hello, how are you? It's been ages.
Linda, I'm in terrible trouble.
What is it?
Well, I just got in from shopping, and well, there's a woman here, Linda. I never saw her before.
Ann, what are you trying to tell me?
She's been murdered. Dead.
Dead?
I didn't know what to do. I can't locate Billy. Isn't it his studio? Look, Chris, if you could get Max, he might be willing to come over.
Yes, of course. Look, I'll try at once, Ann. Have you called the police?
No. Somehow I didn't want to.
You must. You must call them at once. I'll try to locate Max, and we'll be there as quickly as we can, but call the police, Ann.
All right. Then this, that's the thing to do?
It is. And don't lose nerve, darling. We'll be there soon.
I want to report a murder.
Miss Potter?
Yes.
No. I'm Inspector Marsh of the Homicide Squad.
How do you do, Inspector? I came out in the kitchenette because there isn't any place to go. Your men...
Yeah, it's quite all right, Miss Potter. Now, I'll have to ask you some questions.
Yes, I know.
Tell me, who is the dead woman?
I don't know.
Oh? Well, how did it happen?
I don't know. I was out all afternoon. I came back. I found her like that.
Mm-hmm. How'd she get in?
I carelessly left the door on the latch.
Where is your husband, Miss Potter?
At work.
Telephoning?
Well, yes, but... Well, he wasn't there.
Then he isn't at work.
No. Bill's a commercial artist. He never left his studio to talk to some editor.
Tell me, is the dead woman a friend of your husband's?
No.
How do you know that?
I know who his friends are.
Mm-hmm. When did you find him, Miss Butter?
Not long ago. A little after five.
And where'd you been?
To the movies and shopping. Well, they're the things I've lost on the table.
What time did you go to the movies?
About 1:30.
Did you go with someone?
No.
What theater?
The Luxor, just around the corner.
What pictures are showing there?
Well, Junior Missing, and detective thing.
So you were away from the apartment from 1:30 to 5, huh?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Tell me, where's your husband likely to be if he's at work?
Well, he might be out with a friend or seeing an editor.
Ah, but you do expect him home.
Of course, for supper.
Does he often leave his office without saying where he's going?
Well, it isn't really an office. You see, it's a studio where he paints. There's no one there but him.
And you don't know the dead woman?
No, no.
Tell me, do you have a carving knife, Miss Potter?
Yes, of course.
Let me see it.
Well, can you draw? Mm-hmm. It's here somewhere.
Well, Miss Potter?
It doesn't seem to be here.
Never mind. The carving knife was the murder weapon. Oh, you say that you're positive this woman is not a friend of your husband's.
Positive?
Just look at this, Miss Potter. Just look at this. This is a slip of paper that we found in the dead woman's bag. Please, read what's written on it.
Bill Potter, 839-8373.
That's right. Now, from the things in the bag, we know that the woman's name is Rose Gilman.
Oh.
Are you quite sure you never heard your husband speak of her?
Rose Gilman?
Yes.
What?
Miss Potter! Callahan! Callahan, come in here. This woman's fainted.
Better have a drink, Mr. Potter. You look kind of shaky.
Well, thanks. I am a little shy. I'll come back into your own house and find this.
Here. A good stiff slug will fix you.
Oh, thanks. Oh, I'm afraid I don't know who you are.
I'm Rod Buchanan, Max Chandler's assistant.
Oh, Max is here?
Yeah, he's in the living room with the cops.
Where's Ann?
Linda's taking care of him. Your wife got hold of Linda Jones as soon as she discovered the body. Linda brought us over here.
Oh. Mr. Buchanan, did you see the body?
Yeah.
Well, did she...
You're lucky you didn't have to look at it, is all I can say. Oh, hello, Max.
Oh, Max. Max, gee, I'm glad to see you.
Hello, Bill. Rod. You got a cigarette?
Sure. Here.
Thanks. Bill, you're in a jam.
Yeah, I guess I am.
You did know Rose Gilman, didn't you?
Yes, of course I knew her.
But Ann didn't know about your friendship?
No, you see... Oh, I know how it's going to sound to you, Max.
Well, go ahead, tell me.
Well, Rose is a photographer's model. She poses for ads, magazine covers, that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
I ran across her in connection with my work.
And you fell for her, huh?
No, she was attractive, Max, and I, well, invited her to lunch a couple of times. We got in the habit of seeing each other 3 or 4 times a week, but only for a cocktail or lunch.
That's a nice platonic friendship.
Look, I tell
Stay
you...
off, Ron. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, that's all there was to it.
But Ann didn't know about it, huh?
No, it was just a flirtation. If it had been important, I'd have told her.
I see.
Max, I swear that's the truth. There was never anything between Rose and me. I was flattered, I suppose, and... Well, Rose had problems, and I guess I felt kind of like a big shot telling her what to do.
What kind of problem?
Oh, she was separated from a no-good husband who wouldn't lift a finger to support her, and he wouldn't divorce her.
A husband? What's his name?
Howard Gilman. He's an advertising, an account executive.
Do you know him, Bill?
No, I never laid eyes on him.
So all Rose Gilman wanted from you was advice on how to deal with her husband.
Look, I'm not trying to say she didn't like me, but that's what we talked about.
What did you advise Rose to do, Bill?
To talk with him, reason it out.
When was your last date with her?
Last Friday.
You didn't have a date with her today?
No.
You didn't ask her to come here?
Good Lord, no. Do you think I'd have brought her here? Well, I mean, with Ann...
Well, you wrote down your address and phone number for her. Inspector Marsh found it in her bag.
Well, she acted as though she was nervous about Gilman. I told her she got into trouble to phone me. I'd have explained it to Ann then if it had happened.
What'd you do this afternoon, Bill?
Well, I worked till about 4. I got done with the job I have to deliver tomorrow, so I knocked off. And, oh, look, I know this is going to sound bad.
Sounds all right so far. What happened after 4?
Well, I went for a walk.
Where'd you walk?
Down by the East River.
Alone?
Yes.
How long did you walk, Bill?
Till I came home just now.
So you just walked all by yourself for 2 hours down by the East River? Was it cold enough to freeze your ears off?
That's not so unusual. I often take long walks down there. It's a good place for thinking. And plenty of people can tell you it's a regular habit of mine, too.
Why are you so on the defensive, Bill?
Well, because I know what you're thinking. You're thinking I invited Rose here, that we had a quarrel, and then that I killed her.
Isn't that what happened?
Look, Max, you've got to believe me. I haven't seen Rose since last Friday. I didn't ask her here. Why should I want her dead? You've got to believe me.
Bill, I believe you.
Oh, Anne, darling, I've been such a fool, but, honey, I swear I never...
I know, Bill, I know. It's going to be all right.
Tough situation, Mr. Chandler. But then, Mike on a job is usually unpleasant.
Yes, yes, I know, Inspector. You're going to arrest Bill Potter.
Well, what else can I do? No one else has any discoverable connection with Rose Gilman.
Well, how about Howard Gilman, her husband?
I checked on him. He has an ironclad alibi.
Somehow, I just can't believe that Bill Potter...
Now, wait a minute. There's a bottle of liquor in the room with a dead woman, see? She had a drink with a murderer before she was killed. Now, Bill Potter's fingerprints are on that bottle.
Well, they would be, wouldn't they? It was his liquor. What about the knife?
Quite clean. Now, listen, Chandler. The switchboard operator at Rose Gilman's apartment house says that she called Potter's number several times in the early part of the afternoon, see? I don't mean at his studio. I mean here, at his apartment.
Well, where's that at, up there?
I think she came over here to find him. And Potter had left the door on the latch, and I think Rose Gilman let herself in. I think Bill Potter found her here and killed her.
It's a pretty circumstantial case, Inspector. A good defense lawyer would tear it to pieces, of course.
Yeah, I know. Until something else turns up, I just can't overlook it. I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to arrest Bill Potter on suspicion of murder.
Ron, find anything out about Rose Gilman's friend?
There's just one thing turned up, Mike. He did a lot of modeling for a photographer named Ferris.
Jimmy Ferris?
You know him, Linda?
No, but he's done a lot of work for Globe magazine. He does photograph girls, but he's particularly good at taking machinery, factories, that kind of thing. He's a good photographer.
Oh, not as good as you, I'll bet.
Flatterer?
The dope I got is that this Ferris used to take the Gilman dame out on dates every once in a while.
Max, why don't you and Rod go talk to Howard Gilman, the husband? He's going to be the tough one to talk to because he'll know why you're there. I'll go see Jimmy Ferris.
No, you better stay out of it, Linda.
But look, I can talk to Ferris without his knowing what I'm after. My job as official photographer for Globe would give me an excuse for going on it.
Hmm.
I could bring up the subject of Rose Gilman quite offhandedly.
Yeah. Linda, I think this seems a good one. Rod and I'll see Howard Gilman. You tackle Ferris.
Floor, please.
Eight, please. Do you happen to know if Mr. Ferris, the photographer, is still in his office?
Yeah, I haven't seen him come out, miss.
Thank you. There must be someone around. They wouldn't leave a place unlocked.
Yes, what is it?
Oh, you, Mr. Ferris?
No.
Well, may I see Mr. Ferris?
What about?
It's personal.
Oh. I'm Manfred Zack, manager, my friend.
Nice to know you, Mr. Zack. I'd really like to talk to Mr. Ferris.
What's your name?
I'm Linda Jones. I'm from Globe magazine.
Oh, yes. Yes, I know your work, Miss Jones. Good.
Thank you. About Mr. Ferris.
Jimmy's no use to anyone right now. Better come back tomorrow.
But tomorrow may be too late. I'd like to see him now.
I don't know what you're going to do about it. Jimmy is stinko.
Jim drinking?
That's what the word stinko means to me.
Well, is he really bad? Wouldn't he make sense at all?
You're quite a persistent character, Miss Jones.
Hey, where are you? I'm really excuse me.
You can see what he's like for yourself. You got a caller, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Mr. Ferris, I wanted to talk to you. My name is Linda Jones.
No, there's nothing cooking here today. I won't be needing any models this time of day.
I'm not a model, Mr. Ferris.
Miss Jones is a photographer, too, Jimmy. She's from Globe magazine.
I'm also a friend of Ann Potter's, Mr. Ferris. Please, Mr. Ferris, it's very urgent for me to talk to you.
Potter, he's him or the rose. That's who it was. Potter, I heard on the radio. Potter murdered her. Remember, Manny? I told you I heard it on the radio. Manny, don't.
When did you write this on the telephone pad, Jimmy?
What?
This.
I don't remember.
It wasn't very smart, Jimmy. You better get back inside, Jimmy.
Yeah, I guess.
Please, Mr. Ferris, I know you're upset, but I know Rose Gilman was one of your models. I know she
If I were you, Miss Jones, I'd take her powder.
I tell you, Mr. Zack, I've got to...
I'll be right there, Jimmy. Miss Jones, how long were you out here before I came from the back room?
Only a few seconds. Why?
I just wondered.
Look, Mr. Zack, I've got to talk to Mr. Ferris. He doesn't seem to be too badly off to do a little...
You don't act right, Miss Jones. I keep telling you to go away.
But I don't understand
why. How can I make it any plainer, Miss Jones? Get out.
What? You certainly do make it plain, Mr. Jones.
Jimmy, where are you?
Over here, by the way.
Jimmy, do you know who that girl was?
Yeah. Linda Jones. Glow magazine. Excellent photographer.
You had the head man's address and telephone number written down on your pad. Suppose the Jones girl saw it. You've got to pull yourself together, Jimmy. Get moving.
Linda Jones. Yes, girl. Very talented girl.
But she's Max Chandler's fiancée, and she's on her way to tell Chandler what she saw here.
Oh, suppose she does tell him.
Then you can start imagining what it feels like to have a few thousand volts of electricity shot through your body. Come on. We gotta move quickly.
Beg your pardon. Hmm? Can you tell me which side of the platform I get the downtown local?
Yeah, it's over there. On the stairs.
Thank you.
Bye.
I'm sorry, don't you?
Pardon me, but you don't have to crowd like that. But please, you're crowding me towards the edge of the platform. Please, put down your newspaper. You can't see what you're doing. You're pushing me towards the edge of the platform!
Oh, that girl. She thought someone was trying to push her.
Just a case of hysterics, I guess. Nobody was trying to push her.
Max, it's crazy. Because I never saw his face, but I kept having the feeling it was Zack. That he followed me, and for some reason he was trying to kill me.
It must have been Zack. Who else?
Well, it could have been Ferris, Rod, or someone that we don't know about at all. Zack. There's something familiar about that, but I can't place it.
Manny Zack. Never heard of him myself. What's he look like, Linda?
Dark, slender. His suit was sharply tailored, but it was his eyes. There wasn't any warmth at all. They were like shiny black marble.
You didn't see what was written on the telephone pad, did you, Linda?
No, I wish I had. When Zack saw it, he seemed to freeze. Then he ripped off the top sheet and tore it into pieces. But after that, he began to act so strangely.
Well, there's one thing on the cards. We got to go up to Ferris's place and give these two jerks a going over. We got things to settle with Mr. Zack.
Yeah, Rod, I've got kind of a yen to talk to Mr. Zack myself.
Hey, you two aren't going to leave me here alone. I don't mind admitting I'm so scared.
Oh, look, darling. Suppose we drop you off at Ann Potter's. I imagine it's pretty tough for her, too, being alone with Bill in jail.
Yeah, whatever you say, Max. But...
Yes, darling.
Be careful of Zack. There's something about him, Max, so cold, so deadly.
Down in Ferris's office, man.
Yeah.
He seemed to work crazy hours. Pretty nearly midnight.
Don't imagine that Mr. Ferris is in the mood for sleeping, Rod. Let's go in, then.
I guess this is the waiting room where Linda stores Zach and Ferris.
Yeah. I wonder where they are.
You don't seem to pay any attention to that bell.
Let's have a look in the back office, then.
Okay. Holy smoke.
Ferris. Hey, Ferris.
He's dead, Max. Look at the way his head lolled over to one side.
A knife again, Ron. Been stabbed half a dozen times.
Only this time the murderer took the knife away with him. Look at this room. Whole place has been torn to pieces.
Yeah. Mostly film negatives and prints. This must have been a sort of storeroom for Ferris' photographic work. Wonder if the murderer found what he was looking for.
Well, why do we keep calling him the murderer? It's Zach, isn't it?
I think so, Ron, and I don't like it. If Zach still thinks that Linda saw something on that pad. Say, I noticed a phone out in the waiting room.
You know Aunt Potter's number? There's the phone.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah?
That must be the telephone pad that Zach was worried about.
Well, it won't do us much good now. He tore the paper off.
Yeah, I know, but quite often the impression of writing goes through to the page below. Especially if someone bore down hard while they were writing. There's something very faint here.
Hold it up to the light. And maybe you can read it that way.
K-U-R-T. Kurt. S-C-H. N-E-I... Schneider, Kurt Schneider.
That sounds familiar, Max, but I can't play...
Familiar? Kurt Schneider is a German, a naturalized citizen of the Argentines. He's one of the big shots behind the whole German cartel system in South America. One of the most dangerous men to the future peace of the world still alive.
The Whisper Man, huh?
One of the real big shot conspirators. Rob, this thing is suddenly starting to add up.
I don't get it, Max.
I'll explain it to you after we've made our phone call. I want to make sure that Linda and Ann are all right.
I'll get it for you, Ann. If it's reporters again, Linda, I just can't talk to them. I can't.
You don't have to talk to them. Hello?
Linda?
Max, where are you, darling?
At Ferris's office. Are you all right, Linda?
Yeah, we're all right. Why?
Ferris has been murdered. I think it's Zach.
Max.
Now, this turns out to be a big-time case, Linda. It's the Whisper Men again. That's the reason that Zach went after you in the subway. It's not just a simple murder case.
Well, where does Bill Potter fit into a thing like that?
I'll explain to you when I see you. I want you and Ann to be very careful. Be sure the doors and windows are locked.
Yeah.
Rod and I'll be there as quickly as we can.
All right, Max. But it'd be nice if you hurried.
Linda, what is it?
Jimmy Ferris has been murdered.
What?
Max thinks we may not be safe here with him. Make sure everything is locked.
Too bad,
Mr. Zach.
Yes. What's the old adage about locking the barn door after the horse has been stolen? That fire escape is very convenient.
What do you want of us?
A little conversation while we wait.
Wait for what?
For Chandler to come. It's going to be very convenient to have you all together in one place.
Convenient for what?
You're getting you all out of my hair, Miss Jones. I feel it. Don't do that, Mrs. Potter. It would be very unwise of you to reach that phone.
Oh, what are we going to do, Linda? Is this the man who is in the subway?
Yes.
Oh. Too bad about that, Miss Jones. If you hadn't struggled so on that platform, it would have been all over. So quickly and without you really knowing what hit you.
Linda.
Why do you want to kill me?
I can't risk your having read what was on that telephone pad. I can't risk your having told Chandler.
I tell you, I didn't see what was on that pad.
I wish I could take your word. I can't.
I keep telling you.
How soon will Chandler be here?
I don't know.
Well, we'll wait, that's all. Sit down, Miss Jones, over there on the couch beside Mrs. Potter.
You killed Rose Gilman, didn't you? You framed it so that my husband was arrested, didn't you?
It was almost successful, too. If it hadn't been for Miss Jones and Chandler taking a hand, it's a pity you couldn't have minded your own business.
Murder is every decent citizen's business.
Is that in the Girl Scout manual, Miss Jones? Now listen, both of you. When Chandler gets here, he'll ring the doorbell. You'll answer it, Mrs. Potter.
Yes, I'll answer it, and I'll tell
him. And you won't warn him that I'm here, because if you do... Miss Jones, you'll find it's very unpleasant to feel a knife blade driven into the flesh. Oh, it's all right to smoke while we wait, if you like.
Oh.
All right, Mrs. Potter. That'll be Chandler. Let him in. And remember what I told you.
Linda, what'll I do?
You'll have to let him in.
I'm sorry, Linda.
I'm going to stand just inside the living room door, Miss Jones. If you try to warn Chandler, I promise you that that will be that.
Hello, Ann. Everything all right? It's all right, Linda. You don't have to look so frightened.
Okay, Chandler, stand right where you are. Put your hands up if you don't want this knife into your heart.
So, you did get here first, Jack.
Yes, I got here first. So, you're not out.
A gun isn't a necessary adjunct to radio broadcasting, Jack. So, sometimes I think it'd help in the business.
Okay. Now, sit down over there on the couch with the women. Miss Jones, take this roll of adhesive tape. Tear off 9 long strips of it, please.
So it'll be bound and gagged.
Yes. And after that, that gas log there in the fireplace. Oh, Chandler, it's really a very pleasant way to die. It's painless. Start tearing that adhesive tape, Miss Jones.
Go ahead, Linda. How long have you been working for Kurt Schneider, Zach?
So, Miss Jones did read what was on the telephone pad.
No, but I was able to decipher the impression on the second sheet.
I seem to have slipped up there.
Harris took pictures of industrial plants, didn't he? Machinery, that sort of thing. Must have had access to a lot of places.
Yes, he did.
Probably was able to take a lot of pictures he wasn't supposed to. Those were passed on to Kurt Schneider.
You seem to have it all figured out.
Those pictures would be valuable to Schneider if the time came later for some sort of sabotage. How did Rose Gilman find out about it?
You're really quite good at guessing, Chandler.
Oh, thanks.
Ferris got drunk. Talked a little. Showed her things that he shouldn't. She tried blackmailing us.
So you got her here and killed her. Bill Potter was just a fall guy for you.
That's right. We sent Rose a message that Potter wanted to see her here. Instead, I was waiting for her.
How did you plan to get into the apartment?
There are ways of opening doors. Fortunately, Mrs. Potter had left it on the latch. That's a bad habit housewives have. It's an invitation to steal.
And murderers. You did kill Rose yourself.
Yes. Too bad she was a cute kid. But she wasn't smart. Keep tearing that adhesive tape, Miss Jones.
I don't think that'll be necessary, Linda. Mr. Zack isn't going to get to use it.
What do you mean?
I borrowed a bad habit from Mrs. Potter, Zack. I left the door on the latch when I came in.
What?
See, I couldn't take the risk if you wouldn't be here ahead of me. So I've called Inspector Marsh, and he and Rod are in the foyer. And Rod's been taking down your statement. He's been a court stenographer, you know. He's very good at it. Now that we have your confession...
Are you dirty?
They certainly teach you to shoot on the police force, Inspector. That was right between the eyes.
Max, this Kurt Schneider... His address was on the pad.
Yeah, he got away, Rod. Evidently got cold feet earlier in the day and ran out.
What man's that? I never saw anyone so cold-blooded.
Yeah. Too bad the big fish got away. I'd like to get Kurt Schneider. He's one of the real whisper men.
Well, there isn't much we can do about it.
Well, they say the climate in South America is very pleasant this time of year.
Oh, I smell one of those vacations coming up that isn't a vacation.
Next week, at the same time, the Mutual Broadcasting System will bring you another in this series, The Whisper Men.